The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
My good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say, and we're open line for this Friday lunchtime. So whatever's on your mind, whatever takes your fancy, then call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. I've got to say hi to Avril, who just said you were sounding a bit fady yesterday. We were. If you're around Douglas Onken and the south of the Isle of Man, there was a temporary reduction in transmitter power yesterday. We were a bit frayed around the edges. While essential maintenance was carried out on the antenna at Carnane, they were scampering up and down the tower yesterday, but we're back on full power today, which is great, and thanks to Avril for noticing. It wasn't just me that was sounding like that. You're on next. Call 66 13 68. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just looking at yours and the other news items on the internet. It's a plea, in a way. People taking their dogs for a walk up on the Marine Drive. Now, this another one had to be rescued yesterday. It went over horse leap, and anybody out there will have a bit of common sense and know a dog should be on a lead, because they will tear off and suddenly they're treading fresh air and it's a long way down to the bottom. But what concerns me, and I'm a dog lover, we've had dogs, and ever since I was very, very young we've had dogs and I love them. But the danger, all right, it's trained, they are skilled, but it's still a danger where the Coast Guard have to go down the cliff face to rescue a dog. They're trained to go down, abseil down, but it's when they get down to the dog could be nervous, injured, pain, or otherwise. And I take my hat off to these lads and lassies that do the Coast Guard rescue. It's a plea to people. And I think, I was on the Marine Drive myself on Thursday, I think there's signs on the post there, have your dog on a lead, which would make common sense, because it is a dangerous area. And it's a nice area, beautiful area, but dangerous for animals. So, and it could, God forbid, be dangerous for a Coast Guard.
Why would anybody take a dog up there and let the dog off the lead, though? Because particularly if a dog likes chasing gulls and birds, the gulls are around, so as you say, they'll be leaping off and suddenly that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're treading fresh air, and as I say, it's a long way down to the bottom. And this is where, afterwards, then they phone up the Coast Guard. Coast Guard will come out, and with all their training and all their apparatus, will go down the cliff face.
And do it for free, Howard.
Yes, yeah. There'll be a big thank you when they bring the dog back up. But with a little bit of common sense, it shouldn't have to go down in the first place. There's plenty of spaces, open spaces, in, say, the plantations, etc., where you can take your dog.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dream of taking a young child onto the Marine Drive and let it run wild out there. And some of these people, myself included, a dog lover, would class a dog, a home, a dog in your house, as part of the family, and you wouldn't let it run wild in a dangerous area. So it's just a plea to dog owners. who anticipate taking their dogs up onto any, not necessarily the Marine Drive, any cliff area.
Well, the good thing is that dog was recovered. The crews went back to the Coast Guard station by about 7:30. Now, bearing in mind, you're getting dark an hour later than that. If that dog couldn't have been retrieved in daylight hours, what would have happened?
Well, obviously, these lads and lassies are out there, and they're obliged to a degree to try the best and bring that animal back to safety, which is the operative word, is safety, is what the dog owner should be thinking. That should be first and foremost in their mind. You know, they're looking over the edge of the cliff saying, oh, look at that, it's lovely all the way down to the water. Whee! Oh, there goes little Jimmy, learned to fly. And then the Coast Guard are called out, and as I say, these well-trained and very amenable, etc., and if you want to put it, brave, because a lot of people wouldn't dream of going down there, Absalom, etc., but these people go down as a matter of course, and thanks for it. But it's just a plea to people, keep your dogs on a lead, and that way you have control of them. If you want to let them run, take them up to a plantation somewhere where they can have a run.
And while we're at it, it's I don't want to tempt fate, but we haven't had a car over Marine Drive for a few weeks, have we?
No. That's another thing, as I say, that some of the clowns that go out around there. I was in the filling station the other day down here at the spa, and there was three cars came in from one end, the Paul Rose Bridge end, through the filling station. They weren't hanging about any, out again, and then straight into McDonald's.
Oh, dear.
They short cutting through because of the barriers there outside McDonald's. They short cut through the spa station, through the pumps, out the other side, straight into McDonald's.
Three cars,
all young fellas. Going in for their whatever they're going for.
There must be a rule against that, surely.
Well, I said to the girl, I said, about them. She said, yep. She says, we get it every day, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's a public-private land. It's private, but it's public access for the pumps, and these lads are just coming through.
Okay.
Lads or girls, I don't know. Well, they were all lads. And straight into McDonald's, because you can't turn straight in there from the Quarter Bridge end.
Right, okay. All right, Howard, appreciate it.
Okay, and but as I say, just a plea for people who are animal lovers, and they're giving the dogs the exercise, but let the Coast Guard have an easier time of it. They don't need the exercise.
Okay, fingers crossed for Sunday and the weather for the camera obscura as well.
Yeah, I'm on Sunday afternoon, all being well.
Okay, all right, thanks, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
Yeah, Coast Guard crews were called to Marine Drive last evening. A dog was safely recovered by Coast Guard. It went over the cliff at Marine Drive. They were called to Horse's Leap just after 6 o'clock yesterday evening. The dog was recovered, absolutely fine, handed back to its owner. Crews returned to the Coast Guard station by 7:30, absolutely free of charge. I mean, that's just one of the civilised bits of the Isle of Man. I'm not advocating your dog, you know, leaping off Marine Drive, but absolutely free of charge. You imagine elsewhere you might get charged for that. And also, I totally agree with your last caller, said Carol. Some people are very irresponsible. I always walk my dog on a lead. Signs must be put along Marine Drive that dogs must be on a lead. The people who let their dogs off and have to get emergency services, surely charge them for the service. Charge them to get their dog back. Surely, because they're putting the emergency services out. They've forced them to go over because of this. Is it irresponsible, do you think? In regards to walking dogs off the lead, this is Texter 717. I walk my brother's dog off the lead. Some owners have dogs that don't go far from owners or walkers. It's to be hoped, but it's a bit of a risk on Marine Drive, isn't it? I mean, I know there are fences along a lot of it, but there are areas, particularly around Horse's Leap, where you can park cars and what have you, that a dog could, people should pay to have their dogs rescued. 768 suggests, well, I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this. I got a note in from Lee, and he said, I heard something on Manx Radio about cyber threats on the Isle of Man and scams. We're always getting spam, but where spam becomes a scam, what do we do? Well, the Isle of Man Cyber Security Centre has published the latest threat report, and it's warning that online scams are becoming more convincing, more targeted, and harder to spot. I don't know whether you think you can spot a scam or a spam message. Between May and June, just 2 months, 800 suspicious emails were submitted to the Isle of Man government's reporting service. Most contained malicious links. Others involved fake investment schemes or the impersonation of things like Manx.net, PayPal and travel sites. Well, I've certainly had a few purporting to be Manx.net. All you need to do is click on the sender address and you can see it's nothing to do with the Isle of Man. One scam highlighted involved a fake Revolut message. This is that bank, online bank. The victim was tricked into sharing a one-time passcode and uploading ID documents, lost £3,000. Now, officials say it's a textbook case of social engineering where criminals manipulate legitimate systems to gain trust. Other incidents included a local business on the Isle of Man targeted with spoof emails to redirect payments and a crypto scam victim approached again by fraudsters claiming to offer compensation only to be defrauded for a second time. Now, this report flagged a company using a fake online identity complete with an AI-generated chief exec and a business address linked to a private home, raised concerns about how easily publicly available data can be misused to appear credible. And while scams are rising, some genuine messages are also being mistaken for fraud, showing just how much digital trust has eroded. The Cybersecurity Centre says protecting against cybercrime isn't just about technology. It's planning, training and building a culture of vigilance. I don't know whether you have looked at or reviewed your passwords lately. Isn't that the thing, though? How many passwords have you got? Can you actually remember all your passwords? If you ever get a new phone or lose a phone, it's a devil of a job, isn't it, to remember passwords? So we're being encouraged to be vigilant, but quite how you do it, I don't know. Anyway, if you've spotted any today, if there are any online scans or scams or spam that you'd like to tell us about, then by all means do get in touch. And thank you, Lee. It's good to hear from you, and I'm glad you enjoy the show. Here's Juan now. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
Well, very well. I'm just spotting my spam.
Yeah. Yeah, just listening to Howard there with the Marine Drive thing, and yeah, everyone should be careful when they're up dogging. I mean, dog walking up at Marine Drive, that they don't fall off the side. Just looking at the news this morning there, Hulk Hogan just passed away, see? And
did you know how he got the name?
Go on, you tell me.
Well, what was his name? Terry something, wasn't it, his original
Terry
name?
Galea.
Terry Galea. Yeah. Well, apparently, because he was always a big lad, he went on a chat show in America with Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno used to play the Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk, that's right, yeah.
And he was much bigger than Lou Ferrigno. And he thought, I'm bigger than the Hulk, so I'm going to call myself Hulk. Even there if it's go. Not right, it's a great story.
It was very good being in the industry. I've met the guy a couple of times over in Orlando at the performance
center. What sort of man was he?
You get characters in life. You get people who are larger than life. And when this presence in a room was the thing, you know, I've worked with a lot of big lads over the years with the wrestling, but his presence, he felt a presence in the room with him. When he walked into an arena, him and, like, Ric Flair were probably the biggest people I've seen that walk into an arena and people just gobsmacked. But just for the size of Terry, but Ric Flair being a smaller man, how he held an audience was absolutely amazing. And a nice guy. He had a bar actually about half an hour away from my place in Clearwater. He was last time I seen him, he was walking to a very sad state through St. Petersburg to a divorce case.
Oh dear. Well, we should all keep moving. Remember, this week we've lost Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan. Everybody, keep moving, please.
Yes, keep moving. Indeed, yeah, absolutely. I just touching back on the conversation with the Chief Minister the other day, it was just a couple of things there that it was kind of a little bit evasive. I wasn't kind of totally convinced in everything that he was telling me. I'm linking it up with the facial recognition, which I've asked Jane Poole Wilson about, and they seem to think that this is the next great thing. And I mentioned this to Jane Poole Wilson last year, that this is not obviously her idea. This was launched all the same time last year around England, facial recognition cameras going into cities. So again, it's just following agendas. But a couple of photographs people sent me this week of people walking around town, and I have to ask myself the question of facial recognition, and they say it's going to stop certain people coming in. Has the government got permission by law to take off religious headdresses off people for facial recognition? What do you think on that, Andy?
Well, it's illegal isn't it illegal in France? Didn't they make it illegal to the burqa or the niqab or what have you? Obviously, in Britain, it's not illegal. I think in you can't go into a bank with a motorbike helmet on, can you?
And this is my point. This is exactly my point. Without any kind of racial slur before the wokies come on, it's just a point of observation. If this law is for us, does the law apply to people who claim religious headdressings cannot be unmoved? So it's just a point, and looking at, like I said, photographs has been sent to me this week of the island. It was just an observation and a question. My other point as well, I think Alf Cannon got mixed up with me asking if the government had any connection with Serco or agreements. That wasn't my question. My question was, has any individual guest house or hotel here got a private contract with Serco? They would not have to tell the government about that, I feel, unless he comes on and corrects me otherwise, or someone from government comes on and corrects me otherwise. That would be a private contract and a business contract that someone would have. And again, my concerns that looking at what is coming closer to us over the other side of where we are, and I have these two voices on either shoulder of mine. I look at the outcome and the journey of facial recognition and what's written about it and where they want to go with digital IDs, and I look at where this road is taking us now. Some of it doesn't kind of make sense, does it? It's very well TV recorded, just like you're watching a soap, really, on some of this stuff. And sometimes you wonder whether you're getting engineered down a road of problem, reaction, solution, that facial recognition is actually the road where they want it to be. And to get there has to be a story and a narrative to it. But I don't know, Andy, maybe that's me being conspiratorial, eh?
Well, the thing is that facial recognition, we've got facial recognition on the Isle of Man anyway, because everybody knows everybody, Duan.
Yeah, yes, we have, but it's different when it comes from government observation. Facial recognition is slightly different on that, Andy, isn't it? I mean, we're looking at control and compliance. So again, obviously for our safety everywhere, but there is concerns here of where we're going. And like I said to the Chief Minister, this government needs to be mindful of the people that we are bringing in here and the speed that we're bringing people in. Yes, we do need inward migration, and everyone does, and it's very good for a community. But I think things are getting very close and very heated in the UK.
Yeah.
In fact, I was talking to at the Villa Marina 2 years ago, I think, a promoter I was working for there, a wrestling promoter, he was on the phone to someone, and he came off the phone, he's swearing and everything. I said, "Well, what's wrong?" He says, "I've just lost my contract for the Britannia Hotels because they're taking in immigrants." And I think I mentioned it on this show 2 years ago. So a lot of this stuff I knew that was happening over 2 years ago, because the Britannia Group obviously is the one that's causing the trouble at Canary Wharf and Epping at the moment. So, you know, keeping your ears to the ground is sometimes worthwhile, because you see what's actually going to happen.
Well, thank the Lord we've got that stretch of water between us and the UK, and thank the Lord that everybody does pay attention. We're a domesticated island. Everybody everybody gets on with their friends and their family, and people tend to, we're very neighbourly, people tend to know each other. So the chances of being anonymous on the Isle of Man are fairly scarce. Even the rarefied millionaires of the north of the Isle of Man tend to know people.
Well, on that point, Andy, I would have to go back to Maria Brideson's recent article about what's happening at the fish factory. And again, I briefly skirted on this over a year ago on this programme, and the point of modern-day slavery with our own fish factory here. So, again, this stuff does creep in. So people should be mindful, and our government should be mindful of what's happening and where this is going. So on that point, Stop, that you made there, maybe not so much. You know, things are happening on a little island that we do need to be mindful for. But I wandered my way to a little political group, a new political group meeting last night, and was listening to what was going on. So, you know, for anyone that listens to people like Julian and myself, you're not alone. There is a lot more people here that are like-minded on the island, so don't give up hope yet.
Okay, good to hear from you. Thanks, Juan. Have a good weekend. And I think the key is to be neighbourly then. Know as many people as possible. Say hello. Be nosy if you want. 27 minutes past 12. Julian's here, actually. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just following on from what Juan's saying, and talking about being neighbourly, the leaflets being distributed about Islam and the religion of peace on the island by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association from the UK. This association was founded in British India in 1889 by a chap called Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, hence the Ahmadiyya, who claimed that he himself was a promised Messiah. This claim was seen as a violation of the Islamic belief in the finality of the Prophet Muhammad. So as a result of this, Pakistan alone has two pieces of legislation banning and declaring the Ahmadiyya community as non-Muslims, the two pieces of legislation being the Constitutional Exclusion Amendment of 1974, and the other being Ordinance 20 from 1984, which criminalises Ahmadi religious practice. Ahmadis are not allowed to call their place of worship a mosque, they cannot call themselves Muslims, and they cannot use the Islamic greeting Assalamu alaikum or peace be with you. In May 2010, coordinated attacks on Ahmadi places of worship in Lahore killed nearly 100. They're barred from holding public office, discriminated against in employment and education, and cannot be issued with passports or IDs without denying their faith. And similar legislation against the Ahmadi exists in Indonesia, which is the largest Muslim country in the world, Bangladesh, Algeria, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt. So the Ahmadis are not tolerated in most Muslim countries, either by Shia or Sunni Muslims. Which does kind of ask the question, could we see potential friction here, if you see what I mean? Because it seems to have caused a lot of problems in the other countries, not taking sides or anything. But it does make you wonder, could this be potentially a bit of friction, you know, sort of neighbours coming over and having a bit of an argument, because Sunni and Shias are completely against them.
Well, we
and
don't.
I assume that there's...
You know, I mean, we don't know, do we? It's something that most people... We haven't got an enormous Muslim population on the Isle of Man, despite the fact... I mean, Bonzo was quite right to point out the other day, you know, the first mosque in England was founded by... He wasn't a Manxman. He was born in Liverpool, but spent all his time as a kid on the Isle of Man. Abdullah Quilliam, William Quilliam, started. So, and the fact is that the religion of Muslim. I've had two bosses in my career who were Muslim guys. Absolutely fantastic. Mm. Wouldn't have even noticed that they were Muslims. And the majority of Muslims are peace-loving, wonderful people. But I mean,
I've got friends myself in Moroccan, all over the place.
In every religion, you will get extremists. There are extreme Christians, for heaven's sake.
Interestingly, talking about William Abdullah Quilliam, he actually founded the first mosque in Liverpool in 1887. But it's important to remember that he was a staunch supporter of the Ottoman Empire at the time. He was around between 1856 and 1932. He made comments disparaging of the original Armenian massacres, which were the first set, or otherwise known as the Hamidian massacres, which were between 1894 and 96. And he wrote his support for the Ottomans in his publication, which is still able to be read, called The Crescent. And then later, between 1915 and 17, First World War, the Armenian Genocide, when you had 1.5 million Armenian Christians were killed, the Ottomans explaining that they felt that the Armenian Christians living close by were thought of as a fifth column, undermining Islam within their own country. And then, of course, you have an inconvenient truth, which was, even despite Abdullah Quilliam supporting the Ottomans, 22 years later, after the Armenian genocide finished, on August 22nd, 1939, Adolf Hitler gave a speech to senior Wehrmacht officers where he said, and the quote from his speech was, "Who, after all, speaks today of the annihilation of the Armenians?" So what he was implying was that there had been no consequences for the Armenian genocide. And just 10 days later, the invasion of Poland started. So when we talk about Mr. Quilliam, he was a supporter of the Ottomans who did conduct the Armenian massacre and genocide. So I think you have to be careful if you start talking up the fact that he's got links to the island. you know, history does show that he was sympathetic to the Ottomans who conducted genocides against Christians.
As so you say, kind of, as you say, there are nuances in every religion, and that's one of them.
Yeah, so, you know, some people might, the Armenians might not be too impressed with hearing about him, if you see what I mean.
Okay. All right, Julian, have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us.
You too, Andy. Thanks.
Hello,
cheers.
This is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Thank you, 794. Oh, sorry, 734 just said there's a booking.com spam going round at the moment. 734 said, "I've had my cards frozen and had to order new bank cards because of it. Watch out for that booking.com scam that's going around at the moment." The issue is, let me see here. Oh, yes, the issue is regarding this, that, dog signs must be made larger, as it's obvious that dog owners can't read. Please make the stay off the beaches, the ones at Douglas Peel Port Erin at the beach entrances, much bigger. 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning, the beach must have had 30 dogs on it. Can this be policed for the family use in the summer? Have a good day. Well, I hope you do have a good day. The minister without portfolio apparently is meant to save money, says 313. The Auditor General is meant to identify savings. They both seem to be doing the same thing, says Gaz. What is that?
Welcome to the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Millichaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millichaps of Ramsey.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain,
keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again.
Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern energy efficient living with ground floor underfloor heating and air source heat pumps. Plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living redefined.
At Holmes & Davidson Opticians in Douglas, we see more, so you can too. Our advanced eye examinations go beyond the standard checkup, using state-of-the-art Heidelberg 4D retinal imaging and Eidon ultrawide field technology to detect early signs of eye disease before symptoms even appear. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in eye health, because your vision deserves more than average. Book your advanced eye exam today at Holmes & Davidson Douglas. Clarity. Care. cutting-edge technology.
The Ravens are back, and this weekend, Paul Jones and his team kick off their latest journey in the NWCFL Premier Division. Hoping to get started on the right note, FC Isle of Man host Litherland Remeker at the Bowl this Saturday in the first match of the 2025-26 season. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson for FC Isle of Man versus Litherland Remeker, kicking off at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Hey, fast am I, 24 minutes before one. Isle of Man government highlights online threats as 313, but pushes us to use online services. Warnings are fine, but we need some guarantees that our government data is safe. Well, let's hope it is. The education system, the education system should be set up to channel the appropriate students into practical apprenticeships, like it is in the Netherlands. A university degree won't get your plumbing fixed. So how do we do that? We were talking about the lack of apprenticeships on the Isle of Man, and obviously university is touted as being the logical conclusion, mostly. But what about apprenticeships? Again, if you've got any experience of this, then by all means, regarding apprenticeships, this message came in from Belly yesterday. The Sun newspaper got some plumbing courses. I did an intensive six-month apprenticeship with a UK-affiliated City and Guilds company. Cost me a lot of money, but I've never been out of work. So, well, a good plumber's never out of work. Am I right, good plumbers? Good plumbers are never out of work. I'm sure. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And what do you think about the plan for Ramsey? The clerk at Ramsey Commissioners says a consultation into a master plan for Ramsey will provide it with information about which areas need improvement and refurbishing. Now, if you live in and around Ramsey, the north of the Isle of Man, in particular if you shop in Ramsey or have to go and do any banking, there are still banks in Ramsey. Derek Flint, the clerk at Ramsey Commissioners, reckons the local authority and residents depend on the town thriving, and says, in partnership with the Northern Chamber of Commerce, it's a key strength. Ramsey has to thrive. The Chamber of Commerce in the North is currently holding a drop-in session at Ramsey Town Hall for you to have your say, and they want comments which are complimentary and critical. So, bouquets and brickbats. Now, Derek Flint says it's important for residents to contribute, have your say, so the local authority can make improvements over the coming years. Derek Flint.
Well, this exhibition gives the people of Ramsey a voice to say what they think. Now, we pick up loads of things on social media and in conversations about what people think should and should not be done with the town, but this is a real opportunity to collect all those views and actually do something with it. So it provides us with a lot of intelligence, if you will, in terms of where we should be looking in terms of our improvements, our strategy and the like. And that coincides with what the Chamber wants as well, really, in terms of their business intelligence, trying to find out what makes the town more attractive, increases footfall, and therefore the knock-on effect for them is that it increases trade and business.
They mentioned that they want to do more about working with the public sector in the private sector and things like that. Is that something you will take on board yourselves?
One of the things that we're keen on as a commission is that we don't exist in isolation. So as the public purse gets smaller and smaller, we've got to look at different ways of doing things now, whether that's collaboration with our fellow commissions in the north or whether it's more public-private initiatives, which is something which has been only really tentatively explored on the island. These are all things that are up for discussion. We've just got to find better ways of doing what we do well.
Is there anything that you and the commission are hoping to get out of the drop-in session?
People know their town, they know what's best for it, and with a little bit of thinking, with that information, we can actually then go away and digest it and look at what it really means. I can only just repeat what the Chamber has said, really, in terms of that, wanting to almost like compel people to come and do something and contribute and have their voice.
That's Derek Flint from Ramsey Commissioners, the clerk at Ramsey Commissioners. Do you live in Ramsey? Do you live in and around Ramsey? Can you tell me what Royal Ramsey needs? Of course, Ramsey's got its own flavour, it's got its own atmosphere. It's great. Ramsey's lovely. But it has to thrive. It has, and it kind of, it's almost a microcosm of the Isle of Man. Ramsey has to stay as Ramsey, if you see what I mean. It has to still have the character of Ramsey. but everybody's got to live. Man cannot live by bread alone, or woman for that matter. So is there anything that in Ramsey that you think needs improving? Have you dropped into the exhibit yet? And have you suggested anything to the organisation? The drop-in exhibit is today at Ramsey Town Hall. It's on Monday at Ramsey Town Hall, Monday to Thursday, 4:30, 8:45 to 4:30, Saturdays. It is on today till 4:30. So if you've been, I just wonder what your thoughts are. I mean, without sort of, you know, living in a dream and wondering, you know, what Ramsey needs, practically what Ramsey needs. Is it just needs those brownfield sites improving? Does it need more people to live in and around Parliament Street? Does it need any more shops? Of course, now, still got the two big supermarkets, the Co-op and Tesco, and the other Tesco at St. Paul's Square. And Co-op on Parliament Street, and there's a spa as well. So what can be done? What needs to be done to make Ramsey better without ruining Ramsey? I just wonder what your thoughts are also on this, the freedom of information that's revealed disagreements among the government over land access and valuation for the Earistain Wind Farm project. But there's a freedom of information just been released, which officials clashed last year and earlier this year over whether the transfer of forestry land should be at nominal value or market rate. A Treasury valuation officer said the transfer should be at nominal value if there's no change of use. DEFA maintained the plantation had inherent value in the timber to be harvested, despite the fact that we were hearing it's never been harvested before. The documents show frustration over transparency. One official said if the whole thing was less secretive, it would be easier to advise on. So we'll watch that. I got a note in also said I was parked below the Grand Island in Ramsey by the beach on Wednesday. A man parked up, took his big white poodle and small black dog onto the beach and arrogantly let them foul while checking no one was watching. Didn't spot me, John said. My grandchildren were disgusted. We didn't go on the beach. Apparently, the man does this every day. Why is he allowed to wreck our beach? A man in a big white, in a big car, a big white poodle and a small black dog onto the beach. Is this so? Can you say that? The High Street needs a good clean. Parliament Street needs a good clean. Yes, that's practical. So perhaps buy a street cleaner. But in general, what do you think? There are no banks in Ramsey, just a bank, says Richard. The Alabama Bank. Barclays gone. Lloyd's gone. HSBC gone. Just one bank now. Well, you have got one bank, and pray that you keep the bank there. The plan for Ramsey says, this is 762, just another excuse for a certain few to gain public money. I don't really see where you're getting at, to be quite honest. No, you're going to have to be more specific than that, rather than just veiled conspiracies. It's not a veiled conspiracy. What do you think? I'm genuinely asking your opinion, 762, not your kind of scurrilous conspiracies. What do you think should happen to Ramsey? Why is the NSC car park always full no matter what time we go? 235. Is that true? Do you go to the NSC car park? What time is it full till? I mean, the NSC's busy till late, isn't it? Ken's on now. Hi, Ken.
Afternoon to you. I'm just wondering if anybody knows when the new bus service from Peel to the Sound's going to start, the 8S. Because I've looked on their old traffic commission or committee, and they've only had three meetings, two in January, one in February.
Right. Michelle Hayward, is it by August? I think Michelle Hayward, when she was on, talked about it. So presumably it's going to be on before the end of the summer, surely.
Well, you'd have thought it would have been tomorrow for a bus down to the Southern Shore. But no, I don't know. There is some good news. There's some good soul at the test match waving the flag between the Greece and the Ecuadorian Guinea. And they're talking about the Isle of Man.
Oh, fantastic.
Redden, lots of three. Oh, three legs. Good news. Free advertising.
Lovely.
How's that? But the bus, what? You'd have thought it had been rushed through. Mm. Who's going to object? Is it taxi drivers, maybe? I don't know.
I wonder.
Okay. I'm just amazed that it... Cheers, bye.
We'll find out, Ken. Is anybody knows when the bus service, so the number eight starts? Ramsey needs a Manx produce shop and a deli like Muckton's. Oh, I loved Muckton's. Thank you, Dave. Oh, dear me. Muckton's was one of the reasons, if you don't live in Ramsey, to visit Ramsey, wasn't it? It was fantastic. The selection, the service, everything was brilliant about Muckton's. The FOI, you mentioned, is a worry. Now, the MOA has a lot of debt. How can they purchase the plantation before planning when any other business couldn't get finance for more debt? Does this mean that electricity will be more than 29p soon? I don't know. Do you? What do you think? Is anybody willing to say that electricity is going to be less than 29p per kilowatt hour in the future? Nobody has said, have they? Nobody has said. And that, if you like, is our yardstick for what's going to happen in the future. Is 29p the line in the sand that we shall not go beyond? Belly the Plumber. Thank you, Belly. Would you be willing to provide more information about the plumbing crash course that you completed? My wife's sister's lad wants to be a plumber, but he's having no joy over here. That's Bill. Belly, text in again if you got any more details of that crash course that you took, and we'll move that on from there. But certainly, if you want to be a plumber on the Isle of Man and you are a youngster, what do you do? How do you become a plumber if you can't get any particular training? It's the last day today for that Manx, the celebrating the Manx language. If you've got an idea for a project to celebrate the Manx language, today is the deadline to apply for the first round of funding. It's called TRACE 2026. 2026 is the year of the Manx language. Next year, you could be eligible for a grant from Culture Vanin if you want to got a project to celebrate the Manx language. If you want more information, go to culturevanin.im, culturevanin.im. You can find out more if you're an artist, a musician, a teacher, content creator, storyteller, vlogger, blogger, or somebody with a passion for Manx. They're offering 30 project grants of £500 to celebrate the Manx language in exciting new ways ahead of 2026, the year of the Manx language. It's TRACE 2026. Go to culturevanin.im. And last day of funding today, end of play. You need to get your idea in.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Ramsey needs more car parking spaces. Too many vehicles are parked on roadsides. There's no parking for many residents who live in apartments near the prom. Also, we could do with an international standard sports centre, including a 50-metre pool, cycling track, climbing gym, also some cameras to capture the dog fouling. Well, they pay for themselves. If you stuck them up there and fined people, Andrew, it would all pay for itself. Remember, I'm just talking about the NSC and the fact the car park is full. The NSC was a bold step, wasn't it? It was a bold step to do that. And yet we take the thing completely for granted now. It's palpably a very good thing that we have the NSC on the Isle of Man. Now, you know, given all the fact that the flumes didn't work for a while and the tiles fell off the swimming pool sometimes, everything, it's a great, great asset to the Isle of Man. And hopefully it and the bowl will get an upgrade for the Island Games in the future. So for the north of the Isle of Man, what do you think it needs? And again, be as bold as you want. What do you think the North, and in particular Ramsay, could benefit from? And if it's such a good idea, would you put your own money in it?
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Order, order! In this case for Manx Car Store, let's review the facts. Firstly, you handpick an excellent range of quality cars for all budgets, are a trusted car sourcing specialist, you knowingly open 7 days a week, and are subject to an excessive number of five-star web reviews. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Very well. This court hereby declares Manx Car Store five-star.
Don't take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook.
Check out the Groudle Glen Railway summer timetable for some great days out. Visit the Clifftop Tea Rooms and Sales Emporium. Book a special steam tea and join our free family train spotting challenge. Hop on the line that goes uphill to the sea. The Groudle Glen Railway. For time, see ggr.org.uk or visit on Facebook.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639-940 for more information or visit qvhpremieroffice.com.
Sunday the 3rd of August, it's a special edition of Manx Radio's Chill Out Show live from Meta Lounge in Peel. Join us between 7 and 9pm for laid-back summer vibes, drinks with a view and great food available. All served up at this relaxed beach cafe at the far end of the prom. Sink into the sounds, enjoy the sunset and let the weekend fade out in perfect style. The Manx Radio Chill Out Show on Sunday the 3rd of August from 7pm at Meta Lounge in Peel, where the vibe meets the tide.
Flocking to the sea.
Check Meta Lounge on Facebook for more.
Crowds of people wait for me.
The Man in Line with Andy Wink.
7 minutes before one. Surely, says DB on 425, the wind farm regarding this, all the millions to build the thing will have to be paid back before the cheap electricity. Why won't we be given cheap electricity first? I mean, we're the ones in essential. We're paying for the darn thing, aren't we? There's a massive shortage of tradesmen on the Isle of Man, not just plumbers. It's a good living for a trade now, says Tony. Thanks for putting your tools down then, Tony, and telling me that on 538. Good to hear from you. Beautiful beaches and summer holidays with children running around and digging in the sand, ruined by dogs. Surely dogs should be banned completely, says John. Well, that's interesting because I got a note in from Harry who said he was talking about Derby Square, where now if you go around Derby Square it says no dogs. £1,000 fine if you take a dog on Derby Square. Presumably this is caused by irresponsible dog owners who've let their dog foul. Derby Square's gorgeous. Not as nice as it used to be, but it's nice. But dog owners, responsible dog owners, can't let their dogs wander around, enjoy, or just even sit in the square with the dog by them or on their lap. Now, that's because of irresponsible dog owners. So, what do we ban? Do we ban dogs or do we ban irresponsible dog owners? The bus, the 8... S Peel to Craigneish via the airport, Port Erin and Port St Mary is scheduled to be heard by the Road Transport Licensing Committee on the 29th of July or the 7th of August, says Keith. The committee has had many meetings this year, not just January and February. So the Peel to Craigneish via the airport, Port Erin and Port St Mary will be heard on the 29th of July or the 7th of August. Now, I don't know whether you noticed, but the Manx Heritage Transport Festival is on. It started on Tuesday and runs till Sunday. There's lots going on. 130 years of the Snaefell Mountain Railway, photography specials, track tours, workshop and depot tours, motorman taster sessions, special timetables and combinations, unusual items of rolling stock, vintage buses and vehicles, and taster events. Now, if you know anybody who's involved involved in this and has come from off the Isle of Man to visit, can I ask you to do one thing? And that is to engage the visitor in conversation. Ask what they think. Ask what they think about the Isle of Man. Have they come here before? Have they been here for years? Would they come back again? It's just one of those very special things that the Isle of Man, only the Isle of Man, can put on, because only we have got all this stuff together. Mountain railway, electric railway, steam train, horse trams, narrow gauge, things like Crowdle Glen, the Laxey Mine railways. We've got all this. So if you would do me that favour and report back if you would. Also, hi to everybody involved in the Peel Sea Festival on for its second year today and tomorrow. And of course, it's the Southern Agricultural Show tomorrow and Sunday. And Max Radio is going to be there. Do pop along and say hello. It's all happening in Peel. I mentioned that, didn't I? Treasure Trail, live music, boat trips, skiff rowing, fresh Manx seafood, beer, boat jumble, yacht racing, the sauna, and the yacht club bars open. Wow! We got an embarrassment of riches over this weekend. We're open line all next week on Man in Line, and then a week on Tuesday, Michelle Hayward, the DOI Minister, is on Tuesday, August the 5th. That week also, the Treasury Minister were live at the Royal Show on the Friday. And the week after that, Claire Christian and Tim O'Neill from the DHC talking about health and social care. Busy, busy.
W-I-N.